Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Winning cures everything. Now for your hosts, Gary and Chris.
Happy Cinco de Mayo. I'm Gary.
And I'm Chris.
And it is Winning Cures Everything for Wednesday, May the 5th. You got big Cinco plans?
No. No, when we finish this, I'm going to go back to work.
I can understand it. I obviously, for those that have not seen, this is the new office setup. I am on campus. I am at work as well. And we're going to take a few minutes and discuss some sports. So not a ton of big time news to get into. The Regions Pro-Am is today. We'll talk a little bit about what's going on down there. Yankees fans last night caused a big stir. And we've got NFL scouts talking some nonsense. We got Brett Favre talking about Aaron Rodgers, all sorts of different stuff. Before we get started with that, winningcureseverything.com is the website. Everything you need to know about us, you can find over there, so go and check it out. Also, sbrpicks.com/NCAAF. That is your one-stop shop for all of your college football gambling content. I see Matt has already jumped in the YouTube, luxurious chest hair. Yeah, it's out. It's been a long day. So, yes, sbrpicks.com/NCAAF. Our college football video will be up on Wednesday mornings from now on, and I am pumped about it. So, everybody go and check that out if you would. You can find it on YouTube. Just search out SBR Picks. Very easy to find, and we are ready to rock and roll. Chris, Nick Saban was out at the Regions Pro-Am in Birmingham. Obviously, they have all the celebrities and whatnot, the Alabama men's basketball coach, the Auburn men's basketball coach, the Auburn football coach, the Alabama basketball coach. Clay Travis was down there. They got, you know, singers and whatever that are actually going out and playing with professional golfers. And when they do this, they go out and they hit and whatnot, and then they all end up after their round talking to the media, et cetera, et cetera. So Nick Saban comes out, and they start asking about Alabama's new name, image, likeness initiative that was announced yesterday. It's called The Advantage, and it's exactly what Florida State set up, exactly what Georgia Tech set up that we talked about on our SBR show a couple of weeks ago. It's that all of these colleges are going to have the same thing, right? They're going to offer classes. They're going to set up players in the best way possible. They're going to give them the content to put on their social media feeds to make money off. It's all recruiting, right? You got to figure it out. So with that said, Taylor jumps in. When can we expect Chris's article to be up? As soon as we get done right here. So as soon as I get a chance to sit down.
It might be a little dated.
It'll be perfectly fine. The NFL draft was last week.
Right. I appreciate it.
I read it. I edited a little bit and just fixed, you know, a few things here and there. And it still holds true. It's a story about you loving Cleveland, man. So I think it'd be fine anytime. So they talk to Nick Saban about the NIL stuff. They talk to him about all kind of stuff. And then it comes out, they start talking about the Noontime Basketball Association, which is the NBA at Alabama. They've talked about it for years, ever since he got down there. He and the assistant coaches and all the staffers have a basketball league where they play at noon every day. And apparently, since Saban's hip surgery, he has officially retired from the NBA. I just wanted to bring it up because, not, you know, the NIL stuff is one thing. I wanted to bring it up because I'm wondering, is this the beginning of the end of Nick Saban in the SEC?
God, I wish it was. It's not. It's not. He's an old man. He can't play pickup league basketball anymore.
He's almost 70. Hip.
You can't do that.
He'll be 70 in October. Yeah, with the hip replacement.
He's going to coach for at least another 5 years. You know, I mean, at some point in time, yeah, he's going to stop coaching because he's probably going to die, because that's what old people do. like, do we think he's going to live? A man that has had that much stress and pressure in his life, we think he's going to live to be 90?
Likely not.
Okay.
I would imagine not.
I'm sure he's a healthy guy, and he obviously takes care of himself, but it's the mental stuff that you put on your body that kills you the most.
I know. You're 100% right about that. 100% right.
But no. Him stop playing old man basketball has nothing to do with is he going to stop coaching. I think he's going to coach until he physically can't coach anymore.
I think you're right. I think he's just going to keep going and keep going. I think even with the NIL stuff, all the changes in this sport, he just seems to stay on top of all of it. I don't know how he does it.
He doesn't. He has a team of people that do that. He's 70 years old.
Right.
He's no different than Bill Belichick. He hates all this shit.
Right, but he hires the right people that can stay on top of it.
Yes, so. But that's it. He's just hiring somebody else. He's letting them do it. He doesn't care. He's not handling it. He's not messing with it. He's got other people that handle that.
Matt said, do you think it's enjoyable for him to coach? He's reached the top, kind of like in NCAA football. Once you build a dynasty, is it fun anymore? And I think it is. I mean, as long as you're winning, I think it's fun. You know, at least for him. Hang on,
Matt, I don't know that it was ever fun for some of these guys. They never seem to really enjoy the wins, and the losses really devastate them. I just think it's a job. It gives them purpose. Fun is not always why we do things. Purpose is why we do things. He has a purpose on this earth, and that is to coach college football.
That's a very valid point.
Happiness
I like your
comes in purpose, not in fun.
That's a good point. That is a good point. I like that. All right. Moving on from there, I had to get your opinion on this. Okay. Did you see the Yankees fans last night? Obviously, Yankees beat the Astros last night 7-3. So the Astros come out, and the Yankees fans in Yankee Stadium, it's not a ton of them, but they all turn their backs to the Astros. So I feel dumb. Like that's the nerdiest thing I've ever seen any so group dumb. Of people do so in my dumb. Life.
Listen, like I said, there's one team out of the 30 teams that has a right to complain, and that's the A's, because that's the only team that I honestly believe is not tipping pitches. That's it. That's the list of people that I think is not doing it. You know why I think they're not doing it? It's because they signed a starting pitcher from Houston, and the starting pitcher was like, wait a minute, you guys aren't doing anything to tip pitches? Yeah, they are. I got to face them four times a year. We're not doing that shit. I'm calling somebody, and we're blowing this thing up. But they've had pitchers leave their organization for years and years and years. They gave Gerrit Cole the biggest contract any pitcher's ever gotten. Why? Because of what he did in Houston to them. Okay. Yes. If they thought it was nefarious, they wouldn't have done it. They wouldn't have paid him. And Gerrit Cole didn't go there and tell them what all they did. Why? Because the Yankees are doing the same shit.
I was about to say, wasn't there an article about this, about the Yankees doing the same stuff?
Yes. All of baseball was doing it. Now, people then start hopping on the argument. This is what bothers me about this, okay? Then we get into these weird-ass semantic rules of, well, I just don't like the way they were doing it. That's because you don't know the way the other teams are doing it.
Yeah.
It's such a crybaby thing as well. Or if you're wanting to say, well, they got caught, and so we get to hate them. No, you don't. This is my same rule for college sports. If your team gets caught illegally recruiting, you don't – or a team you hate – gets caught illegally recruiting, you don't get to call them cheaters. If you like college sports, I promise you, your team is cheating, okay? They're cheating at some level, but they're cheating.
Yeah, I
because the rules are ridiculous, by the way, all right? But to point the finger and call another team a cheater when you know without a shadow of a doubt all these other organizations. Hang on. Why didn't Gerrit Cole tell the Yankees what they were doing, the Yankees blow the whistle a year earlier? Because Gerrit Cole left and went to the Yankees the year before this happened.
And because either Gerrit Cole brought it with him or it was already happening.
Because the Yankees were already doing it offensively. And so Gerrit Cole was like, all right, I'm not going to blow the whistle on my old team because then I'll get my team in trouble.
Yeah. I mean, this is stupid. Matt said, if you're not cheating, you're not trying. And then he said, like, how Leach tricked Oklahoma when he was at Texas. Wait, I think it's the other way around. With a fake play sheet. Yeah. You just leave a fake play sheet out there, and I mean, oh no, he was at Texas Tech. That's what it was.
It was at Texas
Tech.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're not cheating, you're not trying. You know, you're going to come up with something. Taylor said, I know Brian Kelly's making some money under the table from boosters. No way he's. I thought this was going to go into. He said, no way he's only making $2 million. No, Brian Kelly's making significantly more than that.
He's also said there's some weird ass echo. I have no idea how to change that or stop that.
He said it's gone now.
Oh, okay.
I have no idea. I mean, it looks looks normal over here, but either way, we shall see. So
now, paying Brian Kelly under the table isn't illegal at all.
No, he's
allowed to have a contract that he works for a private school that they have the luxury of not being a state funded school, and so therefore, you don't have to see their books. They don't have to show you what they pay everybody.
Taylor jumped in. He said, Amir Garrett gets a 7-game suspension for chirping more than any Astro for cheating. That's because everybody's cheating. That's what we just
No. But that's not necessarily it. You can't get mad. See, this is where you're going to lose me, Taylor. You're going to lose me because in Major League Baseball knew they were doing something. Okay, they knew they weren't just banging on trash cans. They knew they were getting the information somehow to bang on the trash can, right?
Right.
So in order for Major League Baseball to find out how they were doing this, they had to give the players immunity. This happens all the time in the court of law. Bad guys get off all the time because you need to stop the system, okay? And if that means we got to let a couple of bad guys go to shut the system down, then we do that. If they would have punished them and said, we know you're doing it, but we don't know how, but we're just going to start suspending guys that we think cheated, that we think we have evidence of cheating, but we don't know how they did it. Guess what? They can still be doing it. All right. So you give them immunity, you find out how it was done, and then it's over. You crush it. You break the system and you stop them from doing it. It's that simple. This is not that complicated.
Yeah. Taylor said, I mean, under the table pay is illegal if it's not taxed.
I guarantee you it's taxed.
Yes,
it's 100% taxed. Tell you Brian Kelly's income is taxed.
It's that Notre Dame is a private institution. They don't have to release all of their information that they don't want
to. They show on paper a contract with them and him for $2 million, but they don't have to show any more than that. They didn't have to show that, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah, you are correct. Let's talk for a second. This isn't going to be a long show today. We've only got a few topics. Taylor talking about it bugs him that Baez didn't get anything other than a fine for leaving the dugout on top of what happened with Nick Castellanos.
The Baez thing was weird. And what happened to the dude, your boy at the Reds? That was bullshit, by the way. That Rob Manfred is trying to show that he's, I don't know, got some nuts or something. I have no idea why they upheld that suspension. That's the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life.
I tend to agree. I don't like what Rob Manfred is doing, but either way. Let's talk for a second. Interesting article over at 247 Sports. This is from Kevin Flaherty. And he says that an NFL scout, and this was actually on an ESPN college football podcast. Let's see. It was Matt Miller. ESPN's Matt Miller said, Alabama has another great wide receiver, John Metchie III. I've talked to scouts already who say, put it down. He's better than Jalen Waddle, and he's better than Devontae Smith. Metchie caught 55 passes for 916 yards and 6 touchdowns last year. He was Jones's number 2 target as Waddle missed much of the season with injury. But they talk about, you know, the effort play in the SEC championship game. Mac Jones got intercepted, and Metchie tracked him down, tackled him, created a turnover, blah, 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 blah. I am very curious your thoughts on this because I think that this is the one thing that coaches hate more than anything else, and it is setting unreasonable expectations. John Metchie came out of nowhere last year, right, because he had to. Like, he had good numbers. But setting him up and it getting out in the public, guys saying that he's better than the guy that won the Heisman and the guy that went number 6 in the NFL draft is just setting up somebody for failure at this point, right? Why do we set these kind of expectations on kids so early in their college career?
That's my opinion of this.
There's okay. No way that he's – like, I've watched him. I just don't know how scouts could possibly – and it's not that I'm a scout.
Listen, Gary, listen. You know why he wrote that? You know why he wrote that? You know why he said that? Because you, Alabama fans, just have to spend all day long reading about your team and just beating off in the closet. That's why, okay? If you don't get new information about your team every day with something new about how amazing you are, you just go through withdrawals and you start getting weird-ass blue balls.
But this, okay? this is a different thing.
Bullshit. No, it's not a different thing. It's not a different thing. This guy's writing shit for clickbait. He's a draft guy, scout. He has something to write about now that the draft is over with. So what is he going to do? He's going to start writing about next year's class. Well, who's the biggest fan base that absolutely obsesses about their players all the time? That's Alabama. Okay, they're the biggest college football organization going right now. They got more guys in the NFL than anybody else. That's fine. Let's cater to them. Let me waft some of their balls for a minute, and I'll all of a sudden get famous, and I'll get a million people clicking on my thing, and all of a sudden I'll get a blue check mark, and everybody will start following me, and now I'm a college insider, and my pay can go up 30%. That's why he did it, Gary.
Yeah.
That's why he did it. He doesn't have any more information than anybody else.
You might be
and
right.
He's taking a chance. This kid is an elite five-star athlete. So maybe he's better than them. Maybe he's not. Maybe he puts up just as good of numbers, and therefore he can say, look, I was right all along. Whatever. But this is, you asked the question of why. Why did he write it? He wrote it because you're going to read it and you're going to react to it and you're going to make a big deal about it. And not just you, 4 million people that look just like you are going to do it.
You might be right about that.
Because
you might
y'all be right. Care about this shit.
I've looked at it differently. I looked at it as this is completely ridiculous. Why would anybody come? And it was a quote unquote scout, you know, no name, no nothing, but he told Matt Miller. And it may just be completely fabricated, whatever, but if you are anybody with any kind of credibility, why would you come out with a statement like this? One, that sets a kid up for failure, but two, you could be completely wrong on, and I mean, I guess...
He doesn't care if he's wrong, because if he's wrong, he gets to put it off on the anonymous scout, the no-named source, okay? And if he's right, he gets to take credit for it.
Right, it's but this like is why Chris he did Sims. It
because it's a no risk proposition.
Yeah, it's what Chris Sims no does. Risk
proposition.
Chris Sims before the draft puts out this mock draft that's just completely ridiculous.
He always says some random shit that whatever the most contrarian thing is, he goes against it. Okay.
Yeah.
And then when he's done with that, you know, if he gets one of the 20 random things crazy that he says right, he can say, "Look, I got it right. See there? I know what I'm talking about."
Yeah, no,
and
you
are being continues to pay him.
You are correct about that. Mark jumps in. He says Rodgers is a wimp, talking about Aaron Rodgers. He said Notre Dame had 9 players picked. They certainly did. And McKinnon said, "Happy Hump Day, boys, for sure." Matt said that the echo came back, and he told you to say pigs in space.
Pigs in space.
I think he wanted you to do the pigs in space.
Idea what that's from.
I think it's a Muppets thing. Matt said he can write about it and make claims to get people to talk. People won't really look back a year later to call him a genius or an idiot. Yeah, that's probably right.
No, he's just trying to get clicks today.
Yeah, it's
he's just
content.
Trying to get followers today.
You are correct about that. Hey, right quick, I didn't tell everybody this. If you're watching, go ahead and click like on the video. That would certainly help us out. And make sure you are subscribed if you're watching on YouTube or wherever else. We would certainly appreciate that. Share the show out. Tell your friends. All that good stuff.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Next topic. Let's talk about Brett Favre for a minute. Brett Favre says that he is not optimistic Aaron Rodgers will play for Green Bay Packers again. This is Rob Domofsky from ESPN. He said, now, Rodgers and, not, Rodgers and Favre are cool now. Like, they text back and forth, whatever. And Favre was on a Wisconsin radio station and answered the question for him. He said, boy, it's a good question. That's the million-dollar question. I think I know Aaron fairly well. Honestly, I just don't see him coming back and just saying, all right, let's just bury the hatchet, whatever caused the rift, and I'm just going to come back and play because I love the guys, I love the Green Bay fans. I assume he does, but his rift isn't with the fans or the players, it's with the front office. Will he just swallow his pride and come in? Maybe, but I don't see that happening. If there's not a trade, my gut tells me that he would rather sit out than play. That's just my gut. There's no reason for me to say that other than what my gut's telling me, and I think you guys know Aaron fairly well enough to sort out or to sort of feel the same way. He said he likened it to Barry Sanders walking away from the Lions right before the 1999 season. He said that he texted Rodgers on Thursday, and, you know, they joked, and he was joking, asking, and Rodgers said, thanks for checking on me. I'll touch base with you after all this is over. And that was it. He said, we hadn't talked since. I think I've listened to your show from last night. I think you're right. Like, I don't think that this is a guy that is very easily to bury a grudge, right?
No.
I think he's done.
I think he enjoys grudges. I think there are some people that are really successful and they don't get a lot of they just kind of breeze through life. But he knows in order to always be his best, you have to have some type of conflict. You have to have some type of something you're always fighting against or pushing against. And I think Aaron might be one of those guys that manufactures that because he doesn't get it naturally, just because he's always been really, really, really smart, really athletic, has a good personality. Like, he's the unicorn that you're not supposed to have. Like, usually you're really athletic and you might have a good personality and be funny, but you're dumb as a hammer, right?
You got it.
Like you don't get all three. And that's something that he seems to have. He does seem to be personable. You know, he's a funny guy, whatever. He's crazy smart. And he's a hell of an athlete. And I think those guys have to make their own conflict. I think they can't help themselves. I think they'll go. I think that's part of why he's got the diva attitude that he's got. It's not just that he thinks he's better than everybody else and should be catered to all the time. I don't believe that. I think it's because he just has to, life gets too easy. There's no tension. And when there's no tension for too long, you get soft.
Yeah. No, that's really good. McKinnon said, hell, he called Gutekunst Jerry Krause in a group chat. Ryan McCracken said, Favre loves seeing this, and you know he's in Rodgers' ear telling him to leave. Look, Brett Favre was with the Packers for 16 years. Bart Starr was with the Packers for 16 years, and Aaron just finished his 16th year.
Neither one of their great quarterbacks have ever played 16 years, or more than 16 years. That's crazy to
that's
me.
That's nuts, man.
Hey,
I mean, 16 Brett years is a long time, by the way, in the NFL.
Brett and Bart make sense because back then, 16 years was, you know, four times longer than any career ever, okay? So that's not that big of a deal. Like, Brett should have, in Brett's world, he should have never played it as long as he did, okay? Yeah. We live in a different world today. Tom Brady's going to play until he's 45, all right?
I think Rodgers has, like, at 5-6 years left at least.
Maybe. Now, he's had some injuries in the past, so he might not have that. But, you know, he could if he wants to. He's just going to have to change. At some point in time, Rodgers is going to have to start living Tom Brady life. Okay.
Yeah.
He's going to have to stop trying to make a play on third down and just know that punting in October is fine. You don't give a shit about October. Yeah.
No, you're right.
Just literally lay on the ground whenever it looks like they're getting close to you because you don't care about this game. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. No, that's it. Mark said, I bet Danica might have a different opinion. Yeah, I mean, entirely possible, you know. I think you're right, though. I think he could play for many more years, however many that is, who knows. But I think he's been fed up with them for a while, and he's just done. I think at some point, once he's done with people, obviously you talked about it, like, he doesn't talk to his family.
Yes.
Like, Why would he
just have a hard time thinking that he's going to forgive this stranger that has wronged him faster than he'll forgive his mother that wronged him? Like, that's just like, I can't get behind that. Like, that doesn't make sense to me.
I tend to agree with you. We'll close out with this. The CBS College Football Top 25 came out, and you know, I look at these things and it's just, I know what they're doing. It's just a click, but some of this makes very little sense to me. I think in college football, it doesn't really matter who you put after like 6 or 7 anymore. I think all of them are so incredibly similar that you're going to put the same bunch in there every year with no real reasoning behind it. So this is the CBS, all of those writers going in and putting it in and polling together. And this is what they came out with their composite. So they've got Alabama number one, regardless of the fact that they have lost so much. And I understand they've recruited really well, but I would not have Alabama number one right now.
It's ball washing, Gary.
Clemson at 2, Oklahoma at 3, Ohio State 4, Georgia 5. I mean, this is the same thing every year. 6, Iowa State. 7, North Carolina. 8, Oregon. 9, Texas A&M. 10, Cincinnati. I mean, I would differ on quite a bit of that, but either way, they've got Notre Dame at 11. Even though we have no idea what's really going on with that roster. Wisconsin 12, Florida 13, USC 14, Miami 15. You know, stop me if you hear something that's contrarian to the overall national media narrative. 16, LSU. 17, Texas. 18, Iowa. 19, Penn State. 20, Washington. Then you've got Indiana, Arizona State, Michigan, Coastal Carolina, and Oklahoma State rounding out. This is all the usual suspects. Nobody takes a chance.
I'm surprised they put Coastal in there.
Well, I mean, Coastal went 11-1. They returned everybody.
I just worked under the assumption that outside of Cincinnati, nobody in the G5 was going to be in it because that's how they do these things.
Well, Liberty, like, I'm surprised they put Coastal in, but Liberty is nowhere near this thing. And they only had one loss last year. They beat Coastal, and they returned everybody.
But that's what I'm telling you, Gary. These people don't even know. They don't care. They just cater to fan bases. That's it. And the G5 fan bases aren't big enough to give a damn.
It's really strange. You and I have complained for years about these.
I'm surprised Nebraska's not in here and really high.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just simply off of the name and uniform.
We complain about the preseason top 25 because the AP poll will come out in August and the coaches poll will come out in August, and all of that will help shape the narrative for the season going forward, and it will absolutely play a part in who actually gets into the playoff and who doesn't. And it's a complete disgrace because nobody has any idea what Oklahoma State is going to be like without Tylan Wallace, without Tavarius Jackson, without, you know, in Indiana, who knows what they're going to look like? Who knows what, you know, I assume Arizona State's going to be really good, but 22, like, I honestly would have Arizona State ranked significantly higher. A lot of these, I have a much different opinion of these teams than what the ESPN top 25 and the CBS top 25 looks like after spring. It drives me nuts that these guys' job is to look at these teams at least I assume unbiased,
but they're not. But your assumption is just wrong. Then, I mean, at some point in time, you just got to come to grips with that.
I guess so. No, it's really insane.
Take for somebody. I guarantee you that every writer at CBS went to a big school. Every one of them went to a big college.
I don't know about that. I know like Tom Fornelli went to Illinois. I know Chip Patterson went to North Carolina. Bud Elliott at 247 went to Florida State. Like
right. those are all Power Five schools.
I mean, they are, but
there's not a G5 in the list.
No, there's not. You're right.
I know Danny Gannell's the NFL guys all went to either Florida State or Miami.
Yeah. Mark jumped in. He said Notre Dame is loaded with speed. O line is what Notre Dame is working on. O line is what has won Notre Dame games over the years.
Yeah, I just assume that the next offensive they've become the new Wisconsin. The next offensive lineman that you replace is going to be the next best offensive lineman in the country.
Yeah.
I just work under that assumption because every time they put one in the league, that guy's the best offensive lineman in the league in 2-3 years. So
yeah, you might be right about that. And they get their center back that's hurt. Like, yeah. Notre Dame's going to be fine.
I might be wrong on that, and one day I probably will be. But until that day comes, I'm just going to assume their line is great no matter who they've lost.
Yeah, Brian Kelly knows what he's doing with an offensive line. Like, yeah, he has for
and
years.
And he knows what he's doing with an offense. And so, it's, you know, they've got a new DC who we don't know very well. We like what he did at Cincinnati.
That's true.
But he's trying to do something new. The old DC I thought was amazing. So they could have some flux on defense, being as the fact that they were one of the best defenses in the country last year, probably the second best defense overall in the country.
Yeah. Yeah. Joseph Gomez jumps in. No one has seen anything. How many freshmen actually play in year one at big schools? So basically just throw a dart.
Yeah. Very few. Very few.
Taylor said he went to the Notre Dame spring scrimmage and left at halftime. He said, I'm not a fan enough to sit through it. I don't know how people watch those on TV. Well, I do. but I would not recommend
Gary, watch them twice. He's got them all recorded.
I really do. It's kind of a shame. It's kind of a shame. Or you can find them on YouTube and watch them a lot quicker.
That way here.
Because on YouTube, like, you don't have to sit through commercials. You don't have to sit through whatever. There's people that edit those things down to, like, 30 minutes. So you're just seeing the plays, and it's just real quick. So that's been my go-to. But, yeah, I'll admit, some of these get a little boring. And as Chris would say, all of them are a little boring. But yeah, I can sit and watch it, you know.
It doesn't matter if they're the most exciting thing on earth. They're still worthless.
Yes. That's
it's still a practice against themselves.
Yes, you're 100% right. It's just a scrimmage. I think you and I talked like a month ago on the SBR show about how to fix spring football and bringing in FCS competition.
This is where the FCS gets their paychecks.
Yep.
Is you bring them in and you make it a scrimmage. You literally tell the other team, we want to work on this. So at least run a few plays out of this package.
Yeah. Like simple
enough. I'm paying you a check. You're now my employee. We're not just paying you to beat you up. We're paying you to practice. Okay.
Yes.
So I want you to run this. I want you to run this. I want you to run this. And I'm going to tell my guys to get after it.
Taylor said the Bengals just need to draft the Notre Dame offensive line. I tend to agree with that.
Wouldn't be bad.
And then Joseph said the Jaguars just fired 4 old timers in their scouting department. The new coach did it all himself. Yeah, that's Urban's way. But that tends to happen at a lot more places. This just gets the pub because it's Urban Meyer. So there's scouts that get fired all the time.
Scouts get fired all the time, but very few coaches come in and try to do it themselves.
Agreed.
The NFL scout rooms are teams of people.
You are correct. So, but I would venture to say that the Jags should have fired their scouting department a long time ago.
Well, yeah.
Sure. You know, maybe not. The Jags have had good players. They just refuse to pay them.
Yeah, well,
or people get pissed off. That.
Tom Coughlin ran them all off.
Yeah, that's the big part of it.
Ran them all off. That's a different situation because they've drafted really well.
Yeah. No, you're right about that.
Maybe Urban shouldn't have fired those guys.
Maybe not. Who knows? But he's going to do his own thing, so cheers to him. All right, we are going to go ahead and get out of here. Is there anything that's broken that you've seen?
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.